Hey, everybody, this is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long, bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave, and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast, and spears Dan holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
To the show, everybody listening to the Confessionals podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either works for me, just get a hold of me. If you have not checked out Sasquatch and the Missing Man because you missed that live event this past Sunday, it's okay. You can still go ahead and check it out at moment.co/Sasquatch. If you want to watch the world premiere and then the live Q&A afterwards is available as well at moment.co/Sasquatch for a little bit more than a week from now. So you have about a little bit more than a week and then it will be cut off. And then the next time it's available, it will be available on demand at Merkel.films where we release all our documentaries. All right, friends, we have a great show here for you today. We have Steve coming on the show. I met Steve here in East Tennessee at a pizza shop. He comes over to me and the guys and he introduces himself and he says, I love the show. I love listening. And he just dumped all this stuff that he knows about this East Tennessee area on us. And I said, bro, you need to come on the show. And so he came here in studio. And since we're doing it in studio, I thought it was only logical to record the intro and outro in Studio B, not Studio A. You can actually see Studio A behind me if you're watching on video here. I'm actually recording in Studio B, which is actually the same room, a little secret there. Two different studios in one room. Anyways, we have Steve coming on today to talk about all the history of the area and the Bigfoot sightings, the Dogman sightings, all the cryptids happening here in East Tennessee. And he talks about a family who had an ongoing relationship with a family of Bigfoot to the point that there was a language spoken between families. Very interesting story. And yes, of course, I am right now trying to track down somebody from that family to talk to me because if they're in East Tennessee, why not have them on the show and tell their family story firsthand? But we get into it today. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Steve. Let's get to it right now. Today, we have Steven here in studio. We're going to jump in this conversation. Steven, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. How about you?
Hey, I'm glad you're here. So apparently, you and I were supposed to record years ago.
Yeah, a long
time ago. And that conversation never came to fruition. Don't remember. Probably me. It's probably a me problem, not a you problem. Yeah. It was me, Joe, and Jack. We went down to Legends of the Lore Pizza and we were having dinner and we had ordered our pizza waiting on it and you come over and start talking to us and you just started telling us all these stories and stuff. And I was like, hey man, I should get you on the show. And you're like, funny enough.
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't know if you remember the conference last year. I'm the guy that stood up at the end and that's asked right. the crazy question. Trying to blast out the BFRO people.
Yeah, that's funny. Did you ask that question on purpose to like?
I felt like they was picking on you, to be honest, because they're like, you can't take a story and turn it into this.
I remember that.
And they're strictly animals. Yeah, that's me. That was me. I'm even the guy that made Matt Moneymaker mad about when he was going around asking the questions with the scientist guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I even made Matt Moneymaker mad where he's mad enough. He turned to give me the most hateful look you've ever seen.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. My son sat there and watched it happen.
Could you feel the eyes just glaring?
Yes.
Yeah, you're like, ooh, geez.
Well, yeah, we made eye contact and I was like, huh?
Did you smile?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I even said a few choice words.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. Because what I was, you know, that guy was there to do, give his take on what his studies he was going to do differently than anybody else. Well, I was like, well, this guy sounds like everybody else. We're going to take the samples. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But what happens most time? They come back contaminated.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I've got a question. So Matt came over. I was like, well, how is this guy going to prove that he is going to be much different? And I went on to this other little stuff and Matt said, great question. Turn around and ask something totally different. I'm like, dude, that's not even what I freaking asked. And I'm just sitting there going off. He turns and just gives me the god-awful look.
Oh, my gosh.
That's hilarious. It that's made funny. My day.
So I wasn't there during that part. I was probably at our booth or something, and I didn't see that interaction, but that's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people in that row got to see it and thought, man, you made him mad. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't care either.
I don't know what... I don't know what the whole thing is with Matt, but I know he rubs some people the wrong way.
Yeah.
He doesn't rub me the wrong way, probably because I don't know him well enough. Yeah. I haven't looked into it all and stuff. And honestly, like I had Matt Pruitt on the show not too long ago, who is very much a flesh and blood kind of guy. And obviously that's, I mean, I'm flesh and blood to the extent that, yeah, when they're in this realm, they're flesh and blood, but I don't think they're always in this realm. And I think what you see here in this realm could go to another realm when it feels like. So obviously that's where the divide happens, but I had a great conversation with Pruitt and I thought it was educational. He presented great arguments and, I think I'd have a great conversation with Moneymaker too. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Right.
I haven't tried, just to be clear, I haven't tried to get him on the show. But even if I did, I imagine he's pretty busy. I'm just glad I was able to get Bobo on the show, which he was fun.
Oh yeah. Bobo's cool. I think he's pretty about the neatest one out of all of them.
Yeah. So. Yeah. He's definitely the most unique character. Anyways, he's a good dude. But at the conference, when you asked that question, I do remember sitting there on stage, and I don't know who said it. Somebody was talking about how, you know, the people's stories about these things aren't the most accurate and reliable evidence. And I was sitting there, I was like, well, they're not going to like me, you know?
That was my exact thoughts because, I mean, where did all this stuff come from? Stories from generations on generations.
How do you know about Bigfoot? Well, I heard about it.
Yeah. My peepaw and his peepaw are what, like from generation to generation, even the Cherokee stories. You mean to tell me these historical stories are just stories? They don't mean nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing with that. I think that like their point would be that the stories are the launching pad into further evidence. You need further evidence beyond a story. Mm-hmm. But the way they relay that, I think, and maybe even they do feel this way at times, but I feel like there's a certain level of poo-pooing the story at some point when you're trying to pursue evidence. Mm-hmm. And I think that it would behoove people, and I don't want to say any names in particular, but just people like that, to refrain from doing that and remember the foundation of what this whole thing's built on. Like your interest in the topic came from a story.
Right.
Most people didn't stumble across Bigfoot themselves or a footprint that was 20 inches long and 10 inches wide. Mm-hmm. They heard about it and they were interested and they started looking at it. They started researching. Then they started doing all these other things, trying to find further evidence. But the whole reason why you're even there is because you heard about it and you believed it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Or you believed it enough to find it interesting enough and research it. So,
because something about that story intrigued you to follow that story.
Yeah.
I guess is the right way to say it to me. But I mean, everything's based off stories. I mean, everything we know today is based off stories, whether they're a little little out there, or they're just domesticated or whatnot. It's the baseline of what we this subject's on.
Yeah,
pretty much. That's all we got.
I feel like I look at myself. I was talking to I can't remember now. It was Timothy Alberino at the Blurry Creatures BlurryCon conference, and him and I were walking out at the end of the day, and I was telling him about what I do and everything, and like I get insecurities with things, you know, like I still after, I'm coming up on 650 episodes, 7 years into this, and I still feel like I have imposter syndrome at times. And, I told him, I was like, there's parts of me that at times feels like I don't do anything of value. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not true, right. But, I'm basically the story guy, mm-hmm. And he encouraged me to not feel that way and to lean into it and be like, that's your role. That's your place in all this.
Right.
Cause I'm not a researcher. My brain doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And part of it's probably just because I've drank too much fluoride in my life. I can't stay right. focused long enough. But, so I really started embracing that, if you take it to the Native Americans, the tribal story mm-hmm. teller, the person who hands off the generations of knowledge of the tribe are often people who are identified as children mm-hmm. that have good memory, good recall, and are good at relaying the message, right? And I just kind of feel like maybe that's my place in this world,
Yeah.
And, I'm not to say I can't do other things, but I do feel like maybe, I am just the modern tribal storyteller of all this stuff,
Exactly, yeah.
Just kind of documenting it. So, but you grew up around here mm-hmm. and you have countless stories. I mean, you were just dumping them at the pizza shop. And I was like, you want to come in? And so, fortunately, it's a Thursday and your boss lets you come in and leave. And you said you're still getting paid?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, he's into the subject too. We're golden.
That's great. That's great. So let's start off with your personal experiences though. Okay. Do you have encounters with cryptids? I know you did the paranormal as well, as far as you do paranormal research, right?
I would like to, but I don't get out often as I would like to, if that makes sense. I know I'm kind of blabbering, but I did a lot of stuff growing up in the paranormal. I didn't really get into the cryptids probably about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. Because what made me get into it, I was talking to my buddy, it's actually my boss and at work now. He got to relaying the message to me about this, that stuff, and it made me think about what happened to me in 2012. For the longest time, I thought it was a bear, but evidence now points towards it wasn't.
Mm.
So if you want me to go into that.
Yeah, go for it,
Back in 2012, around October, I believe it was late deer season. Nope, let's say November. Yeah, it was around November. It was the weekend after one of the bear seasons had just closed. And usually when I'm hunting up there, I hunt up there in the South Cherokee National Forest of Monroe County. And it's me and my papaw. We're always together. We was always hunting together. We would always, go one way or the other. We'd always meet back in the middle usually. Well, my papaw's 73, maybe 74, and just last week retired from logging all his life.
He's 73, 74 now?
Yeah.
And he just retired from logging?
Yeah.
Wow.
We're talking cutting trees down, setting chokers, driving the skidders, all of it.
Wow.
Just retired last week, and he's done it all his life. The Skyway Road up there, he built it. He's part of the crew that built it, helped build it, dynamite it, and all the other stuff. But he had to work this weekend. He's always a hard-working man. So he had to work. He needed to go to work. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just go by myself. And I had this spot picked out. And it's kind of hard to explain where the spot is. It's just a spot I'd have to show you because it's just one of the random pull-offs there on the Skyway Road going up. So I had seen deer sign in there before, sign of a big buck, been in there numerous times. He's had the whole area rubbed up. So that morning I get there, I'm probably at the parking spot about 2.5-3 hours before daylight because I've got like a 5-mile hike back in the woods. So I get my stuff together, walk back through there, nothing out of the normal, just dark, you hear your little critters and whatnot. I get to my spot, I just set in for the day and I just sit there and just watch the sun come up. nothing really happens. Nothing happens till I go to leave. So basically, I start to see the sun come down. Long story short, because all I had seen was pigs and deer, little does and stuff like that.
So you were there all day?
I was there all day. Because when you go into the mountains like that, as far as I went, you're not going to go in there for 2-3 hours and walk 2-3 hours back. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
I'd go in there and set up camp and just sit there because I'd carry my backpack with all my essentials and stuff in it. So I was there all day.
Okay.
Like I said, the only thing come through was a big old pig. I should have shot him, but I wasn't dragging that sucker out by myself. So...
could have used them for bait for something else, though, if you were thinking about it.
Well, it gets better with this whole story. So it's the end of the day. I see the sun coming down. I'm gauging my sun sign by my fingers and stuff, that old scout's trick or whatever. You know, I've never been in scouts. So I'm like, okay, it's time to go. So I pack up my stuff. I'm walking out, and I'm just bebopping down. And I always walk out of the woods, even in or out, with my rifle unloaded, not I'll have it loaded in the tube because I carry an old Marlin 30-30, but I don't carry one in the chamber because you could fall, go off and hit yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
So just, I'm walking out, gun, and got my backpack on, just beep bopping around, looking around. It's my own business. I hear a little shuffle to my right. I stopped and looked. Not really nothing. Didn't hear nothing else. I go walking some more. And this time, I start to hear shuffle. It was like a shuffling. It wasn't a walk. It was more like a shuffle type thing. And I hear it getting closer, and I can hear it. It's keeping up with me. I stop again. I'm thinking, okay, I had a honey bun while sitting back there. I thought, okay, maybe that honey bun drew in a bear or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think about this. We only have black bear here in East Tennessee. They're not very big. They don't get very big. The biggest one I've ever harvested when it was field dressed was that 95 pounds.
What?
Yeah, they don't get very big.
Hold on. A black bear that's 95 pounds?
Yeah.
Wow.
They don't get very big around here. Like, no, you go to Cade's Cove, they're monsters.
Okay. All right, gotcha. Because
they're fed there.
Gotcha. Oh, now it's making sense because, like, we were in Gatlinburg and we had a very large bear walking through the parking lot next to my truck, but they're being fed there. Gotcha.
Okay. But over in South Cherokee, they're very wild and they don't have a lot of feed source. It's over the last few years, they've had a lot of hard times trying to get acorns and all this other stuff to eat. But anyways, so what I stopped and I said, all right. And I start to talk out loud. And I said, okay, bear, I know you're up there. You just stay up there. We won't have no problems. So I go walking again. Walking right up beside me. I can't see what it is because it's very thick. There's a big large thicket up on that side of the mountain. I can't see what it is. All I can do is hear it. And I'm just going down there and going, hey, bear, hey, I know you're just talking to it, being loud, being aggressive in a way of my voice, but it never did budge. It just stayed right with me. So we go on down through there a little bit more, and this time I hear a twig snap, and it's a lot closer. I said, okay, you're getting a little too close for comfort. So I start yelling again. I said, all right, you need to go on. Let's go on. So we walk some more. Gets a little closer. And this time I'm getting a little antsy. So I go ahead and I rack my round into the chamber. On my 30-30, I don't have a safety, but I can flip the hammer forward. So all I got to do is pull it up, pull the hammer back, and go to business. So we're going down through there. And this time I start to turn to face where the noise is. And I thought, okay, let's see what will happen if I speed up. So I started to speed up a little bit, sped right up with me. As soon as I would abruptly stop, it would abruptly stop. I'm thinking, God, this bear, I knew it was acting weird. It was acting very weird. Now, growing up, we never thought twice to Bigfoot. We never thought of Bigfoot or nothing like that. Only thing we heard close to Bigfoot growing up was the wood boogers, but that's about it. But I'm thinking, okay, I'm almost to the truck. I've got to see if I can get him out. So on the trail, it does a little curve, and the TWRA cuts some clearing out right there to plant some grass for deer can come in there and eat and whatnot. So in this curve, it dips down. It makes like a big V. You got the other part of the mountain here, and you got this little ridge that the grassy portion sits on. So I'm thinking, okay, this bear is still right here on this right-hand side, and he's got to come down. And if he's going to keep beside me, he's going to have to come down in that bowl, that V, and then come up behind me into the field. So I said, okay, I'm going to jump into the V and then jump right back into the field and see if he comes out. So I speed up a little bit. I can hear it keeping right up with me. I hit the V, jump up the ridge, and then I'm listening and I'm walking through the field. And I'm listening how closer and closer he's getting. I'm just timing. I'm just walking. I'm like, all right, ready? One, two, three. I flip around. There's nothing. Not a thing. I can hear it, but I cannot see it.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.